Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's nice to see you. Start of another year, although you have 2 days already behind you. This is my first visit with you, and I trust that the Lord will bless us as we join together. Good to see each one of you, and I trust that we will indeed know the Lord amongst us today. We sang Psalm 110, and we're turning to it now. Psalm 110, and we're going to look at the very first verse of the psalm. The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. For quite a few weeks in the last school term, which ended in June, we were looking at the Psalms and looking at various wonderful truths in the Psalms. Now, we're going to continue looking at Psalms in the will of God, but we're going to look at one particular theme, and that is prophecy. Prophecy. I can never emphasize enough to you that if there is one topic in the Bible that is dealt with above all other topics, that is, it appears more frequently, I do believe, than any other topic, it's the one of prophecy. God wants us to look to the future. Recognize there is a future. Recognize that it's a future filled with wonderful things. And it's a future for which we ought to all be prepared. All be prepared. Now, the believing people of Israel were long acquainted with details concerning the last days. I believe right back to the days of Adam, they knew about the last days. And they looked forward to them. They were instructed about them, had details of them given to them by the Lord. And you will find in the Psalms repeated references to the last days. In fact, you and I can learn about the last days from what the people of Israel so long ago had to say about the last days. It's interesting if we remember that the Psalms were songs of worship and praise. They were also prayers, prayed in times of distress as well as times of happiness. And yet sprinkled throughout those songs of praise, those prayers, are references to the future. There is much in prophecy, boys and girls, that ought to make us sing. If only we were aware of what the Bible tells us about the future, we would sing more. I'm sure it's the purpose of the devil to rob us of joy. He doesn't like you being happy. And if he can rob us of knowledge concerning what lies ahead, that will rob us of a song. God's people would be a much happier people if only they were acquainted with what it is God has planned for the future. In John 14, you have a bunch of sad disciples. And then the Lord speaks to them about the fact that in my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And I'm going to come again to bring you into those mansions. And let me tell you, that changed the attitude of the disciples. That cheered them up. Nothing is more cheering, boys and girls, for you and me to find in the Bible what God has to say about the future. And it's very significant, as I say, that in the Psalms there is much, very much, about the future. And we're going to look at it, because they don't just sing about one item, one subject, one matter, but there's so many fascinating elements, parts to what God has revealed concerning the future, that you find in the Psalms a whole variety of subjects touched upon regarding the future. But we're going to start with this verse 1 of Psalm 110. And this verse is unique among the Psalms, because although when it was written, it was a reference to the future, today it's not a reference to the future, but it's a word about the day in which we live. This is the only prophecy, I think, in the whole Bible that deals with this day, this age. Let me explain that. As I said, as you search the scriptures, you will find the Lord saying, in the last days, in the last days, in the end times, there will be. But this is the only place where we are told what it is the Lord Jesus is doing now, what he's doing right now. Oh, there are many revelations of what he will do when he comes again. But here is a reference to what he is doing now. And it's the only reference, I think I can say certainly in the Old Testament, to what the Savior is doing now. And any reference in the New Testament to what the Savior is doing now is but a repeat of what is said here. It might surprise you also to learn that this verse is the most quoted verse by the Lord Jesus and the apostles. Now, the Savior oftentimes, as you know, said, as the Scripture says, and he quotes from the Old Testament. But this verse is repeatedly quoted, or parts of it, repeatedly quoted. Got to be something special then about this verse, if that is the case. We'll not take the time this morning to turn up all the places where you will find this verse referred to, but let me tell you the places. Matthew chapter 22, the verse 44. Mark chapter 12, the verse 36. Acts chapter 2 and the verse 34. Ephesians chapter 1 and the verse 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and the verse 25. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3. Verse 13 as well. And then chapter 10, 12 and 13. As I say, there's no other verse in the Old Testament that gets such repeated attention. There must be something important in this verse. Listen to what it says again. Listen with both your ears. The Lord, that's the Father, said unto my Lord, that's the Savior, the Lord Jesus, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Now this is a conversation between the Father and the Son, but God allows you to listen to it. And that's because God likes to keep us informed. He's pleased to keep us informed about himself, about his purpose and plan. You know, the world's full of puzzled people. And that's because they never read the Bible. If they read the Bible, they would understand what God has done in the past, what God is doing now, and what God is going to do. God makes no secret of these matters, and he wants you to know about it. He wants you to share in the knowledge of his plans and purposes. Now that's a mighty thing. That's a mighty thing. You and I don't know what the thoughts of the Queen are. Today a new Prime Minister will be announced for the United Kingdom. And although that person will make many speeches, there's a lot of things they'll not tell you, what they plan to do and all the rest of it. They'll not tell you. But God invites you into his secrets and informs you of what it is he's going to do. Isn't that a wonderful thing? And yet, few people take up the invitation. As you read the Bible, you're taken right back to the beginning, to the very earliest days, and the wonderful displays of God's power and the advancing of his purpose for the good of his people, the creation. The vast majority of the world stumble about trying to work out how everything began. They send rockets up into space. They send telescopes up into space trying to find out how did it all come about. But you can read it and I can read it in the Bible. In 6 days, God created the heavens and the earth. That's the end of the puzzle. Go to this scientist, he'll tell you, well, here's what I think happened. Go to this scientist and he'll say, no, here's what I think happened. And you could go round dozens of them and they all have their own notions. And their only notions. Their only notions. Not a grain of truth in any of them. We have the truth. God created the heavens and the earth. And as we read through the Bible, we'll read about the great flood, the Noah's day, a judgment upon sin. Oh, that's a truth the world knows nothing of and doesn't want to know anything about. That God judges sin. But boys and girls, be aware of that truth and seek refuge from judgment. There is revealed to us the merciful preserving of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, from whom God brought forth the nation of Israel, his special nation, his special nation. Oh, there might be bigger nations by way of numbers, there might be stronger nations by way of military power, there may be richer nations, but there's only one nation on the face of this earth that is chosen of God. And in the story of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, you have the beginnings of that nation. Then there came the Exodus when he brought out his people from the bondage of Egypt and on into the days of David and the days of victory and glory under that wonderful man. Then there were the prophets who were raised up of God to warn Israel of their wanderings or backslidings, their departures from God, their disobedience. We move on then into the wonderful days of the Lord Jesus when he came. It's all recorded for us. He sent out his apostles and we have records of their exploits and their ministry. All of them would have been accompanied by wonderful miracles. The dead were raised. The blind were made to see, the deaf were made to hear. Just as the Savior had wrought, so he imparted to his apostles the power to work the same miracles. And we have something of the record of that, as it is set forth in the ministry of Paul, the Acts of the Apostles, and in his epistles. And he was, as it were, an example of what the other apostles were doing in various parts of the known world. But after the apostles, the miracles ended. Oh, men might pretend that they can still work miracles, but no, they can't. Oh, yes, there were the miracles of mercy and grace and love in the conversion of sinners. Wonderful, wonderful examples of miraculous converting power. But not the miracles that were seen in the days of the apostles, were seen in the days of the Lord Jesus, were seen in the days of Elijah, Elisha. Those miracles ceased after the apostles. Why? Because we're in a time of waiting. This age in which you and I are in is a time of waiting. That's what our text says. Look at it again. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. At this moment, the Lord Jesus is sitting at his Father's right hand. And he's sitting, waiting. I was sitting there before the assembly began, waiting for it to begin. The Lord Jesus is at this moment sitting, waiting for that day when his enemies will be made his footstool. When that day comes, then you're going to see miracles like those of the old times, and I would say even greater, even greater. So the Lord wants us to know what's happening today. In times when things don't seem to be happening, people can get impatient, and they can rush off in various directions, determined to make things happen. But this is a day for us to remember the Saviour is sitting at his Father's right hand, and he's waiting until the day his Father says, right, now I'm going to make your enemies your footstool. You're going to put your feet on your enemies. That's the day of wondrous victory, clearly seen by all the world. And it's a day in which the enemy's activity will come to an end. The enemy is very busy today. The enemy is very busy today. They're active everywhere. But there's a day coming when God's going to subdue them. And so you and I should join the Lord Jesus in waiting for that day, expecting that day, looking forward to that day. That's what this prophecy is teaching us. It's teaching us about today. It's a day of waiting. The Saviour's waiting, and if he's waiting, well, why shouldn't we wait with him? If he is patient and observing his Father's instructions, well, so should we. So should we. We're looking forward then to the day when the Father will cause the enemy, all of them, to become the footstool of the Lord Jesus. So, we're not to be in ignorance about what's happening. You're allowed to look into heaven today and see what the Saviour's doing. That's the privilege. Ah, many people pass by this window that God has given us. Many people pass by and never look in. But oh, I want you to look in. Look in today. Look into this window and see that the Lord Jesus is sitting at his Father's right hand waiting. Waiting. There's a day of victory coming. A day when the enemy's going to get an awful surprise. But it shouldn't surprise you, because the Lord has shared with you his secret. And may the Lord bless you and give you understanding of what it is as revealed to us here in this verse. Let's bow in prayer. O God, our Heavenly Father, I pray you'll give understanding to the boys and girls. Thou hast revealed these things in thy word that we might know, and knowing we may be refreshed and caused to rejoice. Lord, it's a truth that even the youngest can learn. Teach them today. I ask of thee for Jesus' sake. Bless the school. Meet its every need. Teachers and pupils, parents at home. Amen. Amen.